If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We began our study not too long ago on the greatest stories ever told by the greatest preacher who ever lived. And in Matthew chapter 13, Christ begins speaking to a multitude of people in what the Bible calls parables. But Christ simply gives an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's basically the definition of a parable. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And to the disciples, they were given the mystery of the kingdom of God. They were given the very heart of the gospel. To those outside the realm of Christ, they received nothing but parables. And they would lack understanding, and they would not come to grips with it. Why? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that the natural man does not understand the things of God. Does not get them. Does not grasp them. Does not get them. Christ is going to use parables because it's going to be their judgment for their failure to believe His word. For the Lord predicted under Isaiah's ministry that people would not respond to Him. He predicted that they would hear and that they would not receive and they would become dull of hearing. He predicted that. And the context is now quoted in Matthew chapter 13. And you will note that this passage is quoted 5 times in the New Testament, all dealing with Israel's rejection of the true gospel. Always. Those who refuse to see are punished by becoming unable to see. Those who refuse to hear are now going to be punished by not being able to hear any longer. They had deadened their own faculties. They had continued in sin, and they had become heartless, deaf, blind, and dumb to spiritual things. The willful rejection of Christ became the judicial rejection of Christ. There's a biblical principle you need to grasp. For if you accept the light of Christ, Christ will give you more light. But if you refuse the light of Christ, Christ will dim that light until it becomes completely dark. And therefore, you'll never be able to receive the light. That is so important. Verse 16 and 17 talks about the blessing. It says, you're blessed. Why? Because your eyes have seen. Your ears have heard. You are the blessed people. And I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it. Do you know how blessed you are? What you're going to see, nobody saw before you. What you're going to hear, nobody heard before you, but you're going to get it. You are the blessed people, Christ says. That's why Luke 24:45, when Christ, after his resurrection, met with his disciples, the text says, he opened their minds to understand the Scripture. That's why we pray Psalm 119, verse number 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. So we're going to take time and study these 30-some-odd parables over the next, I don't know how many months. Why should I come? Why should I be here? What's in it for me? That's always the bottom line, right? What do I get out of this whole thing? I'm going to tell you. Number one. They display the severity of God's warning. They display the severity of God's warning. And maybe you know someone, and God is warning them. Over in the book of Hebrews, I want to read to you the 3rd chapter, 7th verse. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with this generation and said they always go astray in their heart and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. You will note that there are several warning passages in the book of Hebrews. People like to say, well, because he calls them brethren, they must be Christians. No, when he calls them holy brethren in Hebrews, they're Christians. But when he calls them brethren, he just addresses them as a Jewish nation. And he tells them, beware. Be on guard unless there comes some unbelieving heart welling up inside of you. Beware lest you become dull in your hearing. Beware lest you become like those in the wilderness. Now he quotes from Psalm 95. Psalm 95 was 1,000 years after the children walked in the wilderness. And the psalmist would use that as he wrote to his people not to develop a hard heart toward the things of God. Now, 2,000 years beyond that, the writer of Hebrews uses the exact same passage to say, listen, you need to understand what God's word says so that you don't have an evil heart of unbelief. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the day of provocation. Today, if you hear it, respond to it. Whenever you hear the truth and don't respond to what the Spirit of God's convicting you about, guess what? You become numb. And the more you reject it, the more numb you become. The more calloused you become. The more hard-hearted you become. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. That's why Paul says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable time, not tomorrow. Nobody has a guarantee of tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. You need to understand this. Remember Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 25? God gave them over. Three times it says, God gave them over. God gave them over. God just kept giving them over. What did God do? That's called the wrath of God in terms of abandonment. Listen, when God gives you over to your sensual desires, when God gives you over to live in your sin, when God just gives you over to continue doing what you've always done, the last thing he says in Romans 1, he gives them over to a debased mind. He gives them over to a mind that's futile, that's insensitive, that does not care anything about the things of God. That's the worst place you can be. If God abandons you, there is no opportunity to respond. You hear people say, you know, you can respond anytime between now and the day you die. Not so. Not so. Not according to the Word of God. There comes a time when God abandons you. It says that's it. There came a time in the life of those people who heard Christ day after day after day, and they followed him day after day after day, and did not receive the words that he gave. He took away from them. He said, that's it. He confirmed them in their sinfulness. He confirmed the hardness of their heart. It's Christ who's doing it. How can it be unChristlike? It's Christ who does it. This is what he says he's going to do. I have to say this. I wasn't going to say anything, but I have to say something. When someone says, God bless America, what are they saying? What are they actually saying? They really don't want God to bless them. Because you see, if God is going to bless them, the only way that can happen is if they come to God on God's terms. And America is completely unwilling to do that. They will not do that. If you want God to bless America, you got to be like the nation of Israel when they came to Ezra and they said, bring us the book. Bring us the book. Read from the book of the law. And as Ezra began to read from the book of the law, the people began to wail and lament and cry and weep because of their sin. And they began to confess their sin and realize that they were wrong. And they made a straight path to say, yes, we will do what God says. And God blessed them. But if America never comes to that point, God will never bless America. You can't expect a holy God to bless an unholy nation. It just doesn't happen. It sounds good. It feels good. Oh, God, bless America. For that to happen, you got to submit to God. You got to resist the devil. You got to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You got to cleanse your hands. You got to purify your hearts. You got to lament. You got to mourn. That's what James says in James 4, verses 7 to 10. That's what you got to do. But America doesn't want to do that. In fact, as I was reading today, I was reading the book of Proverbs. And listen to what it says. And you tell me if this isn't America. It says this. How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity, and scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called you, and you refused, I stretched out my hand, and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you, then they will call on me. They will say, God bless America, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. That is the abandonment of God. That is God saying, that's it. It's over. I gave you my knowledge. I gave you my counsel. I gave you my word, and you spurned it. You turned against it. You hated knowledge. And so when your calamity comes, when your disaster comes, I will laugh at you. I will mock you. And you will come back, and you will cry to me, and you will call for me to help you, and I will not help you. Now, I'm not sure that verse of Scripture was read in any of the churches that I know of on the Day of Remembrance of 9/11. But that's the truth. That's the truth. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. Psalm 81. Jesus said to his people, my people did not listen to my voice. Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart. They didn't listen. I told them they didn't listen. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart. Listen to what God says. I gave them over to walk in their own devices. All that is a reiteration of Romans chapter 1. I just gave them over. God says, I told them what to do, I showed them what to do, and they would not listen. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of the heart. Just gave it over to them to live in their sin. But oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Oh, I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. That's what I'll do for them. I will subdue their enemies. I will destroy their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. When the president of our country stands before the Pentagon and says, our confidence is in our military, I want to say, the Bible says, if you listen to God and walk in his ways, he will subdue your enemies. That's all it takes. God says, just listen. Just follow me. All that to say this, as long as America rebels against the authority of God's holy word and refuses to submit to every ordinance of the word of God, he will never bless America. Simple as that. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's what the Word of God says. That's what happens with the parables. What's in it for you? Listen. And follow what the Word of the Lord says. Do what he says. Don't turn him away. If you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Christ, you need to do so. Because you know what? You might be at the point of abandonment where God says, that's it. The light goes out. There comes a time when God says, enough is enough. And allows you to stay right in your sinful condition. And you might say, man, this is great, man. I'm just doing what I want to do. How I want to do it. This is great. But you've been abandoned by God. abandon my God. And eternity is just going to confirm that for you. As you burn in unquenchable fire forever and ever and ever. That's the saddest, saddest thing. It's a severe warning. We can't play games with God. We live in a culture where the evangelical church today speaks of God as if he is the great big buddy of every single person in the world. He's not that way. You can't fool with God. You can't play games with God. But people want to play games with him. They want to play word games with him. Can't do that. God is serious about what he says. And maybe God's asking you to do something. You're a believer this evening. It would be very wise for you to listen to what he says. Very wise. If God's calling you to the mission fields of the world, you better go. You better go. You better not stay here. Don't stay here. We don't want you here if God's calling you to the mission fields of the world. If God's called you to be married, you better get married. If God's called you to be single, you better stay single. Don't get married. If God calls you to exercise your giftedness, you better start doing that. Do what God says. Now, as a believer, God's not going to abandon you and turn you away and say, okay, you're on your own. You're done. Get out of here. Goodbye. No, God's not going to abandon you as a believer. Go stay with him. But you know what? You'll wonder where he is at different times. He'll be there. But your fellowship with him is going to be marred. So you've got to make sure you walk with him. You stay with him. And your Christian life will go nowhere until you say yes to God about everything. Not yes on some things, but yes to God about everything. The severity of God's warnings. You need to know that. Number two, not only do they display the severity of God's warning, they demonstrate the sympathy towards your weaknesses. The parables are going to demonstrate God's sympathy towards your weaknesses. This is so good. The parables show that Jesus was deeply related to humanity. He drew pictures true to life of men, women, children, relationships, possessions, man's desires. He talks about the clergy. He talks about the rich. He talks about the poor, the intelligent, the shepherd, the merchant. And no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, God has a parable for you. No matter where you're at in life, God's got a word for you through a story that he's going to tell concerning you because he's a high priest who sympathizes with your weaknesses. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you need, and he knows how to meet that need. That's our God. Do you need to forgive and be forgiven? He's got a parable. Matthew chapter 18. He's going to talk to you about that. Do you need to know about mercy? Do you need to be demonstrating mercy to people? He's got a parable for you. It's called the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10. You have a rebellious child? One that runs away? One that wants to have nothing, for you, nothing to do with you or your family? God's got a parable for you. It's in Luke chapter 15. You have a problem sharing your faith? God's got a parable for you. He's got a story to tell about what it means to share your faith and the results of what it means to do what he says. You got a problem with prayer? I've got a couple of parables for you. A couple of stories about prayer. Show you what it means to trust him and believe in him and follow him. You got a problem with commitment? God's got a story for you about commitment and what it means to serve him with your whole heart. These will demonstrate to us his sympathy about our weaknesses, because God's concerned about you. So as his child, he's going to show you exactly what you need. And last, they disclose. They will ultimately disclose our deep satisfaction with his wonderful work. They will ultimately disclose our deep satisfaction with his wonderful work. We Gentiles have so much to be thankful for. On the human level, we receive an opportunity because the Jewish nation blew it. And you know what? We need to be thankful. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 28, It says this in the 28th verse. It says, the Holy Spirit rightly spoke to Isaiah the prophet, to your fathers, saying, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing but will not understand, and you will keep on seeing but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. Same quotation as in Matthew 13 of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And then it says in verse number 28, let it be known to you, therefore, that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen. Because you refuse to listen, the gospel came to the Gentiles. It says over in Acts 13, verse number 47, for thus the Lord has commanded us, Paul speaking, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you should bring salvation to the end of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Oh man, we got the good news. We Gentiles, we pagans, we got the good news coming to us. And they began to rejoice and be excited. And my friend, that is where the deep satisfaction really lies for you and me. That Jesus would save our souls. That Jesus would do a miraculous work. And this was not a plan that just came about because the Jews rejected the Messiah. No. Way back in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 35, it says this. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, is verse number 34. He did not speak to them without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. This was always a plan. You know what? That should cause us to fall to our knees and praise our God and rejoice that we have received the plan of salvation and we can be a part of His kingdom. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening and the greatness of your word. Thank you, Lord, so much for the truth that's presented. We never really fully understand all that you do, how you do it, and why you do it. But it's not our place to question the Creator. We are the created. We have been made by you. You're in charge. And therefore, our responsibility, Lord, is to praise you and thank you for the life you've given. Tonight, Lord, as we pray and commit our time to you, we ask that you would take the hearts of every person in this room this evening. If there be one that does not know you, may they understand that today is a day of salvation. They should not harden their hearts. They should not turn away from the truth. But today should be the day, for no one knows that time you will abandon them. And they'll be left to their own sinful, stubborn desires. And for those who have responded, we thank you. And we pray that our hearts will be touched by a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses and can tell a story so clearly about our condition and our responsibility that we should follow. And may we always be people who rejoice at the greatness of salvation that's come to us, the Gentile people. In Jesus' name, amen.